Radio 1180 WHAM welcomes you to Eyes on the Future. Have a comment, a suggestion, an idea on Rochester's future? Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180.
Good morning, I'm John Elhart. This is Eyes on the Future, the best place to find out the latest about our region's economy and what's being done to keep it growing. Draining workplace behaviors will prevent your company from growing. In fact, a recent study shows U.S. companies lose, can't believe this, $3 billion a year just because of negativity. So we're going to eliminate that negativity today with Lynn Desert. Lynn is the president of Leadership Breakthrough. She helps leaders build better relationships with their employees and external customers. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, John. Thank you for inviting me again.
Thank you for being here. We're going to be positive today and eliminate that negativity, even with the beautiful weather that we're having, right?
Absolutely.
Nancy Roberts. Nancy is the president of Insights, a consulting and coaching business. She helps organizations get to the heart of performance, motivation, and behavior. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back on the show. And Liz Warren. Liz is Vice President, Human Resources at Employer Services Corporation. ESC was recently named the number one fastest growing human resources company in America. Hello, Liz.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. Eyes on the Future.
I'm very excited to be here.
Good. Good to have you here. Eyes on the Future, sponsored by Greater Rochester Enterprise, Harder Seacrest and Emery, Eastman Business Park, a new sponsor that we're welcoming today, Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, and Mengel Metzger Bar. If you have a question, give us a call, 222-1180, 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180. Plus, if you're into the social media thing, if you got that Twitter account going, you can tweet us your questions at J-Alhart, J-A-L-H-A-R-T. I have my lovely iPhone here. Hopefully, I won't spill coffee on it, and it'll be working. And if you ask a question through Twitter, I'll post it to the panel. So let's start with the panel here. And a basic question, what are some examples of draining workplace behaviors? I'm sure people who are listening now have a few in their mind.
Well, one of the draining workplace behaviors would be just, you know, getting overloaded as soon as you walk in the door on Monday morning.
And I think we can all relate to that.
I know. You've got an email box that's full of emails. Yep. You've got everybody waiting at the door, wanting your time. And you're thinking, boy, you know, I just thought I was going to ease into this work week. And all of a sudden, slam.
And that's it's tough on a Monday morning to get into the work mindset as it is. You kind of need that half hour to get into the flow of things. So that's a frustrating thing to have to deal with right when you're walking in the door.
Absolutely.
Nancy?
I think back to when I was in the corporate environment, and I think one of the draining behaviors I found was the person who would shoot down any positive idea. Hmm. Well, any idea, whether it was positive
didn't
or not.
Have to, yeah, it didn't matter if it was good or bad. Yeah,
whatever idea you had, they had a reason it wouldn't work. So I used to call them negative Nellies, but it just seemed like anything that you tried to accomplish or do or a goal you wanted to set or something like that, they'd tell you all the reasons it wouldn't work.
And that's got to be just so frustrating because you know before you even present the idea what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah. And I think everybody knows someone like that, whether it's in the workplace or even maybe closer to home.
That could be a different show. You know, we could do that. Liz, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that what I hear most from my clients is the person who is the pot stirrer, the gossip, rumor mill person, really helps to create some negativity that makes the workplace pretty toxic.
That is a great point. I mean, we all know the gossipers, and at the end of the day, it's not going to help if you're the one gossiping, right? You never. How many times has something positive come out of that?
Yeah, never, never.
So, Liz, how can these types of behaviors lead to that negativity that, as we mentioned at the top of the show, leads to a loss of $3 billion a year for U.S. companies?
It's interesting. The study that you're referring to was conducted by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they actually showed a correlation between all types of negativity in the workplace and things such as increased absenteeism and turnover, even increased customer complaints, decreased productivity, decreased innovation. And as you can see, all of these things put together certainly is going to affect your bottom line as a corporation.
I remember the Buffalo Bills, and they had all the talent in the world in 1989. They were called the Bickering Bills because they just couldn't get along, and that's one of the reasons why they didn't live up to their potential.
Absolutely, and it's funny because Marv Levy, I had the opportunity to meet him once, and he actually told me that one of the most important things he found in trying to recruit players was he would look for character. So it's kind of like a corporation or an organization looking for a cultural fit, not just the technical skills.
Right, and sports teams don't do enough of that, and that's probably why the Bills were so successful in those years.
Sure.
Lynn, you've been able to categorize this negativity into four relationships to avoid. What are those four?
Well, the four relationships to avoid are called, number one, the bait and switcher. The second one is the sneak. The third one is the renegotiator. And the fourth is the hostage holder.
Boy, it's such lovely, uplifting terms to describe these people.
Well, right? I'll bet that everybody can kind of relate to at least one of them.
Sure. Well, and what are, you know, a little description of each and the most effective ways to deal with these fine folks?
Well, the bait and switcher, you know, we often think of that about, if you think about what's out there in the terms of the marketing, you see an ad in the newspaper and you see this really low price, you go into the store and all of a sudden they want to upsell you. Well, the same thing can happen actually in organizations. You have a project that you agree to do with your boss, and then, you know, you think you're done, and then all of a sudden the boss says, well, wait a minute, I expect you to do these 10 additional things, but yet I'm not going to give you any additional resources, and you need to get it done on time. So you kind of feel compromised. You know, you say, well, you know, what happened there? I did my head spinning. So the sneak is the person who avoids paying for servicers. And this is actually a real example where somebody came to me. It happened to be an independent recruiter that was working with a company locally. And they went about helping to recruit for a position, and then their services were let go. Well, she found out a couple months later that that company went back and actually contacted individuals that she had sourced and didn't plan to pay her.
Wow.
So, you know, we do those same kind of things in organizations. The renegotiator is after a project is completed, that all of a sudden, you know, somebody had said, well, you're going to complete the project, you'll get a promotion, and then you get done with it, and you go to your boss, and you say, well, where's the promotion? And he says, well, I'm sorry, I can't get you the promotion, but all I can give you is a pay increase. So they start to renegotiate down. And then the hostage holder is somebody who withholds money or information. For example, you know, you may complete a project and nobody wants to pay you, and they just kind of dangle it over your head and just say, you know, and you feel like compelled to continue to work with them because you want to get the money that they owe you, and so you continue into this cycle. So how to stop these kinds of behaviors, first of all, is try not to get into them. That's the first attempt. If you do find yourself getting into them, then what you need to do is, you know, find a way to extract yourself as easily as you can, and then...
And as quickly.
Right, as quickly as you can, and then avoid them the next time. Because you kind of learn the lesson, and, you know, it's fool me once, fool me twice, you know the drill.
Sure. So an effective way to deal with the sneak is to dodge.
Do the dodge. You know, unfortunately, you become the dodger then.
Right. Nancy, you're known as the DISC wizard. Explain what DISC is and how labels can help people effectively deal with those workplace drainers and complainers.
Sure. DISC is a behavioral model that categorizes people's behavior in four different styles. And D stands for dominance, I stands for influence, S stands for steadiness, and C stands for compliance. And everyone ranks somewhere on a scale of 0 to 100 in each of those four categories. And usually you'll have one dominant or core in your style. So I've been doing DISC with organizations for a while now, and it's funny, when I start to teach it, sometimes people will get resistant and say, well, we really shouldn't label people. As if, as humans, we could ever...
Not
label people,
right.
But okay. So they say, we shouldn't label people. And we do say that's true. You shouldn't put people in a box and then think that they could never act outside of, you know, their core style. But labels are actually really useful, especially when it's helping you to understand people and how they act and what's natural to them. Because I think we tend to judge people really only when they do things different from us. If someone's acting exactly the way we act, what's to judge?
Nothing wrong there, right?
Right, yes. Exactly. Hey, I like that individual. So it's when people are different. So DISC can help you understand why people do what they do, but it can also help you approach people in a way that works for them. And so when we get into the next segment and we talk about addressing these negative behaviors, it's really good to know that person's style and what type of approach is going to work with them.
Well, coming up next, is it possible to coach employees on what behavior is and is not acceptable? Also, how important are courage and curiosity? Eyes on the Future, coming back on 1180 WHAM.